Hours later, Una Quinn sat stone, looking at his face. Berryman held both her breasts in his hands, feeling them through her blouse, testing their weight. A burning oak log gave the bedroom a smell like backwoods. The curtains on the open windows ballooned in the night breeze. She stared at cool, splintering blue eyes. A thick, bushy mustache that wasn't well groomed. A flickering, pearly smile that caused her to smile back. She imagined Thomas Berryman as one of Clark Gable's sons. And she imagined or remembered a strange man who kept caged crickets to simulate the backwoods in his bedroom.
"Bugfucker," Berryman commented when she told him.
She sucked and ate crickets, like the French candies with hard shells and gooey centers. She thought there was nothing she wouldn't like to try.
"Ever been married?" he asked her in response to that.
"No. You?"
"I guess." Berryman smiled up with his eyes closed. "For about 17 days in high school. It wasn't religious or legal bound. Lived in a treehouse, if I remember right. Say," he went on, "you said that Ben Boy called before. You said that, right? You said that?"
The bedroom where he and Una Quinn were lying was the plainest space in the house. It was a wide place with a low, wood-beamed ceiling, a small fieldstone fireplace, and white rows of library shelves stacked with bound-up National Geographics and American Scholars from a past owner. The one small window, it is clouded with salt, looked out on the ocean, while a big bay window faced up the long, narrow highway. Berryman said that the house had been spun as backward in a hurricane and, or, it had been built by assholes. Take your pick. Una slipped an expensive peasant's blouse up over her hair, and her tiny breasts popped out of the folds one at a time. They were white and startling.
"Do you like my boobs tanned or white?" the 20-year-old in her asked. She was both self-conscious and serious.
Thomas Berryman pinched one nipple and held it up near his chin. He examined it like a grocer with an apple by its stem.
"Yes," he said, "very, very much."
He pulled his own shirt over his head. He was lobster pink from the roofing job.
"How do you like my little titties?"
She wrinkled her nose. "You'll look like a black man in a week or so, except your nose is so waspy."
"I have to kill a black man."
She laughed. "That gardener? Good. He's a snot." Berryman knelt in the middle of the bed and kissed her without touching his pink chest against her. He told her that ladies in Texas never cursed, and that they always kept scented handkerchiefs in their bosoms, and that they talcumed their rear ends. Outside the bay window, far across the highway in the sand dunes, Ben Toy sat in darkness on the hood of the white Mustang. He studied the glowing second-floor window. In his mind, he was there to protect Tom Tom and the Irish girl. In return, they had to protect him. A few times out on the dunes, Toy heard a black woman's voice announcing it was James Horn's mother. One time he heard his father. Ben Toy thought he was having a nervous breakdown, and he was right. Una and Thomas Berryman continued to smoke the night away, and at a time when neither of them could do much more than nod their overblown heads, he started to ramble about a southern black man he had been paid to kill. As he described his plans for the unfortunate man, Una Quinn threw up on the bed and then conveniently passed out.